Hey guys, Adam from Splendid Sports here, joined by a legendary, I used to call you a legendary commenter or commentator on YouTube Sports Cards, but you made your debut, actually, I'm proud to say it was on Turn Back the Clock a couple weeks ago after I left. So unfortunately, right. I missed out on your debut.
Well, the excitement level after you left, it went way down, so I had to jazz it up for you.
I said, talk about an upgrade. I leave and the legendary Mike Petty comes on. That's a great upgrade.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much for the invite, man. That's just awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and then I saw you on Four Collectors recently. So I got a couple questions for you before we get into, I figured a good game to play. I hadn't done this in a while, so I might be a little rusty, is 3-3. This will be episode 34. I hadn't done one in a while, but I figured, you know, first time talking with somebody like Mike, it's always a fun game to play, 3-3. So that's what we're going to do. Mike's going to three of his favorite cards and then three cards that are on his want list. But Mike, before we get into that, I heard you say, I got to ask you on Four Collectors, Mike Petty's not your real name. You mentioned that. That's your screen name, so to speak. but it was you came up with it after Tom Petty, right? You said you're a huge Tom Petty fan.
Right. That's right.
Now, I had to bring this because I'm a huge Tom Petty fan, too. Tom Petty was my first concert I ever went to. This was 1999 Tweeter Center in Mansfield, Massachusetts. That was my first concert and maybe the best one I've ever been to.
I'll tell you what, I've been to so many, I can't count them. And they are one of the best bands out there. I mean, I guess I'm partial to them. I've listened to them since high school, you know. But I think I have a better appreciation for them later in life. And I think I was on every tour there in the last 10 or 15 years. I was kind of blessed to meet somebody on the golf course out here that was in the band, believe it or not, for over 30 years. Yeah. And I just struck up a good friendship with them. And I'd always, you know, badger them for tickets whenever they were in town. I paid for them. He always appreciated that. I've never had a bad show. And it's every Friday out here at 3 o'clock is Tom Petty Day. My friends know that they can stop by and have a beer, and the neighbors know it too. Believe me.
And it's universal, his music, because even my kids, my 3 and 4 year old daughters, they love Tom Petty songs. So it's
quite amazing. Yeah, it's a generational thing, which is great. Yep. And I'm passing it down too. So
I thought that was cool. So anyway, tell me about. Like, what made you just out of the blue just decide, all right, I'm coming on after all those years, I think, right? You just make, you know,
Just trusting you guys. I mean, just like it started with Orlando, you know, maybe 6, 7, 8 months ago, something like that. Just reached out to him we got in contact. I don't know how we exchanged numbers somehow. And just talking about baseball cards. And then he would give me a call. I'd call him and then he kept bugging me, yeah, come on, you should go on, show some of your cards, do it, start a channel. I go, no, I'm not starting a channel, you know, I just don't have it in me. I think that what you guys, and that's the other thing, you guys put so much into your channels, time it takes, the productions, the editing, the stuff like that, the cards are just fantastic. You show, you know, so many different, I've learned so much, even as an old time, you know, collector. From you guys, and I just really thought it was the right time to come on try to just have some fun, really.
Man, you came out firing too when you came.
Well, you
out
got to come out. Yeah, you got.
you were throwing
shot
fire
out of a cannon, right?
I loved it. You fun. Quickly became like many people's favorite YouTube star just from that one appearance. You lit it on fire. Like,
legendary too. I mean, and that edit that Theo did, you know, the next show, that pregame, that was just, my wife just loved it. She thought it was hilarious.
Dark Mike. How do you feel about that, Nick?
Dark Mike, right? I don't care what you call it. You know, just as long as you call me.
Yeah.
And they remembered me.
Orlando for getting me your number when I reached out to him. So thank you, Orlando.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's. Thank you, Orlando's right. Yeah, great guy.
Oh well, yeah. So I want to now you. I haven't seen really much of your collection other than what you've shown on a couple of those videos. But
pretty much everything. You're gonna see a lot of repeats tonight. But they were just one to just fire it. But I mean, you know, I don't know what I'm doing literally with the audio, with the lighting, with the phones. And I'm just, that's the part that really scares me more than anything, is just not knowing what the hell I'm doing. Like literally the audio on that second show with that iPad, I use a brand new iPad, and it was just horrible. Somebody mentioned it was hard to listen to, and I said, yeah, if I, you know, if it was me, I would just turn it right off. I couldn't take it, you know?
Well, you look bad. Sound great now. You're way better than me. I got a weird light above me here that I can't get out of, but that's
right. Okay. Good. We're beating the expert.
Your cards, not mine on this one. So
I'll see what I can do.
Let's pull out your first one that you want to show of your, we don't say three favorite, but three of your favorites, you know, just
yeah. So I'm going to just basically, mine are all my favorites, I guess, are just based on baseball card stories and how I got them. When I started thinking about it and what other people do, they're not necessarily, some are my best, but some aren't always just my best cards. But the way I've got them and meaningful to me, I think that's what kind of like your show's about. And so we'll take a look at those. And that's, unfortunately for you guys, I have more than three. So I'll tell you the story. So the first, the number three story is basically why I try to tell a lot of people, you know, hey, everybody says, oh, buy what you like or what. And I think I've just been, I always liked the new cards and the error cards and all these crazy things, but I also was mindful of the older cards and what they meant to collectors. And I think like one of my biggest, the first thing that I ever did was I started trading back in the 1980s, all the new cards for old ones. And I've always been mindful of the old cards, like I mentioned. And I mentioned these trades. And so in 1989, when that Billy Ripken F face card was really popular, everybody wanted it. Me and my friends, we knew a wholesaler. We bought cases, boxes, we opened them up. We each got six or seven of them. And then we started to go sell them at baseball card shops, and they were all out of them, but people, you know, we showed them, and I met a guy there, he became a friend of mine. And he said, hey, would you consider trading? I go, yeah, sure. Let's go see what you have. We went over to his house. He was a big Ernie Banks fan, and he had every Ernie Banks card. He had like doubles and triples. So I actually got like his, you know, one of his worst Ernie Banks cards. And with it, I also had a cello pack, which had the Ripken card on the top, and you could see the F face on the bat, and it was unopened, obviously. So that was very appealing to, you know, to the error card collectors, which I could care. I just think they're so overrated. I think they're ridiculous. So I ended up trading. Here's my first card, or two cards that I got in those trades. So let's show the first one here. No, this beautiful. Is the Ernie Banks 54. Wow. And this was great. Whoops, let's see if I can get that better for you.
Oh yeah, there we go. That looks perfect.
Yeah. This was graded, you know, right when the new labels came out. I sent these in both together. This one, and then the other one I got at the same time in the same deal. And I, as I recall too, I think I've got more than this. I got other cards too, but these were the main ones. I got a halo there. I can't, it's hard to get out of there.
The yellow, that? The color on that just pops. That
it really is great. And they great. And this one, they were graded. It's funny. They were graded about like about 3 months apart, but this one didn't get the new label. You know, it had the old label.
Yeah.
And that's when they kind of started. Yeah. But I mean, these were great. And so that's why and I love Koufax. And he'll come up in a later story why this card means so much to me, really. Not only that I got them together in that, you know, in that deal. And that's why they're like part of the favorite deal type of thing. But
that's a great deal.
I mean, that was a great deal. And like I tell people now, you see a lot of these kids or a lot of dealers, they do trade. Like if I was watching the show the other night, a guy traded a Xander Bogaerts or whatever his name is for a Jackie Robinson.
what Jackie Robinson was it?
I mean, I'm going, I don't know. Who cares? I think it was a 54 or something, or 50. I don't care, as long as it's one of his playing days cards. And I don't care what Bogart, if it's a signed Kaboomy.
Yeah, right.
Or whatever. But anyway.
He was a good player for the Red Sox, but yeah.
He's good.
Jackie card.
Yeah, he's pretty good, but he was no Jackie, unfortunately. I think, but you know, that's a way to do it. I think that you know, he's turning in, which They're good cards, and I'm sure somebody will like them. And I just think that it's those cards are going to continue to go down over time, 99% of them. Some will hold their value. Some may go way up, and you may hit a big jackpot, but I'm not betting on it. I'd rather bet on, you know, like I said, I mean, how much is that Ripken card worth now? You know, if just assuming they're at 10, I mean, is it worth 200, 300? I don't know, 500? These cards have gone up, you know, a little bit more. And to me, they're a lot more satisfying than looking at an F-face card.
Yeah, I was never a big error card guy either. I understand why, you know, people are just trying to always collect something that is rarer or that someone else doesn't have. But for me, it was always like I always wanted the legends, the best players. Like I have a hard time spending money on players that don't really resonate.
Well, you're a baseball fan, and people say, well, why you want us to you want me to collect what you like? I'm going, no. How about you learn the history of the game a little bit?
Right.
Find out where it's been and watch it through different eyes, and maybe you'll get an appreciation. I mean, I barely saw Banks play, and I don't really recall him seeing him. Although I know I must have, I do remember Clemente towards the end and Mays and Aaron. I remember those guys a little bit as a kid. But, you know, I just, who doesn't love the, you know, stories with Ernie Banks? Let's play too. The guy's smiling all the time, just was a great ambassador for the game. And he revolutionized the shortstop position for all other players to come before, you know, after him, including your, you know, Derek Jeters and guys like that. And those guys all appreciate him. So I those anyway. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
So you, so the takeaway is you fleeced that guy. That was a
I mean, I guess. I mean, but it took all these years to flee, and most importantly, I held on to him. Because these were probably the only two I was able to keep when I sold my collection in the majority of it in 95, I think. I was a set builder, so I had sets back from like 68 all the way up. And I had, you know, closets full of stuff, all from the 80s and stuff. But I managed to hold these two back. And then later when I got back into it, I got them graded. And so that was what springboarded me into the vintage game, pretty much, to where what I have now. So
those are, I mean, yeah, when I saw that, when you showed that Koufax, it just like I hadn't seen a Koufax rookie that like vivid, you know, and maybe I don't know, like that, because the ones I see now, a lot of them are like faded, a little more faded. So but when you see one that has the yellow that pops like that, I was like, whoa, right, awesome.
It's bright, it's nice. It's a great, just a great card, classic.
So all right, so are we
on to our next one? Our next double
number one, those two.
I'm
together.
Sorry that I changed the name of your show here to Five on Three.
Right. Because
so the next one here is a story that I told. It was right before the COVID. It was probably like in October of 2019. I want to think when it was coming from China, and. And here we weren't really too concerned about it yet, because I know that I went out of town even January of 20, in the very beginning when I went to Arizona for the Super Bowl and for a golf tournament there, and we weren't that concerned about it, but we were talking about it amongst ourselves about the stock market and what to, you know, be careful and all this kind of shit, what was coming. So about 3 months before that, I was on Net 54, and a guy had known that I had made it known that I was looking for these two cards. I didn't know how I would get them or how much they were going to be really, or what I could afford at the time. And he just emailed me one day, giving me a smorgasbord of cards. But the two main cards that I did pick up that time, that day from him, that mean a lot to me. And so these are pretty much, I think, amongst my favorite cards. And the first one is this. So let's see if we can get that. Oh my gosh, this is I got too much glare there. So
I got it. Yep. Try it over on the other side a little more. Yeah, like other way. Yeah. Yeah. There we go. And yep, I can see it. So we got a Willie Mays rookie, 51 Bowman.
51 Again, Bowman. This is all in the same deal. And the same great guy, friend of mine, buddy of mine. Now he's a buddy of mine. But I just love the colors of it. The fact that, you know, he said to me, he says, do you like corners or do you like centering? I go, well, I'm mostly a corners guy. He says, well, you'll love my maze. I'm not so sure about the next one. And he says, but it doesn't, and on the back, you know, he says, it doesn't have any wax on it. Look at that beautiful back.
Wow. 5.5 on that card.
Ooh, 5.5. I mean, and it's a beauty. And yeah, is it? It's off center, obviously. Miss, I guess. I don't know if it's not quite considered a miscut like some of these are. But I mean, it's just a gorgeous card. I just love it. And so, and now the other card that he said, well, this one you won't like, but it has centering, and that's this one.
Oh, I didn't know you had that one. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So we're looking at a five.
This is a great card. It got a five, but I don't, can you see the, it's like, what I like about this BVG, whether, I think this was graded like in 2008, I think, from looking at the website, you know, it's got those subgrades, and I don't normally like them, but on this card, it makes so much sense, just because.
Is that the nine centering?
It's got like nine centering. Let me read this.
Nine centering on
edges, six corners, 4.5 surface, seven. So again, no print marks, which is just, you know, which are, and no gum marks on the back, which is really rare for these cards. Right. These 51s are really tough. So that's why this ranks number two on these two together are number two on my list, because I couldn't pick one. In all honesty, like you said, which one's your favorite? I got them both in the same deal, and I love them both the same. I mean, they're just both great.
Well, I do that with my own collection. I'll pair cards together. So like when I'm making like a binder or whatever, or just looking at them or showing them or taking a picture for whatever social media. Right. I like to group cards together like as a unit, right? Like, oh, these go together because it could be for many different reasons.
Now, I know that as much as you like Mantle, I know you wouldn't like that though, because it wouldn't fit in your registry. I should send it to you and you could crack it out and you can get it, because you're so lucky with your crossovers and grades. You want to do a video on it?
Look at that. That is, you know, it's funny. I, with the registry, I don't compete on, most of the things I do, I don't even do for a registry. I just do like, you know, the Mantle run, but I don't really go for like rankings, you know. I just did it more just to complete it. Like, no,
there's I just decided from day one that I wasn't going to do it because, you know, we're all competitive and you can get caught up in that thing. I can see, even though I call everybody anal Eddie's in it, you know. I can see getting caught up in it because we're all anal collectors in some way, shape, or form, you know. Yeah. And it just is what it is. But
we do. We talk a lot about centering. You know, it is important.
Because it is important. I mean, you can see how the cards are beautiful, you know. I mean, when they're centered like that. And if I wasn't so old, I would probably consider making my whole collection like I see, like what Dylan's doing. We talked about that. You know, I mean, he's still a young kid. What's to stop him from selling all his sevens and turning them all into every one of them centered? He's got all the time in the world right now. You know, I'm too old for it myself.
But with those cards, every card you've shown so far, they just pop, whether they're centered or not. I mean, the coloring and the image, and it's just like.
And I try to buy them for the grade. I mean, these were the first ones, you know, I didn't buy them. But on the cards in general, I'm trying to buy them for the grade. And for the price, the best card that I can afford, whether it's a, you know, that's really the way I bought them. And then because I'm impatient Eddie, I pulled the trigger. I'm not waiting for, you know, these cards I waited because I didn't know quite how they would come to me. I wasn't going to pay eBay prices. And it's hard getting a card like that. You put that card on Net54 and there's going to be, you know, 30 dealers offering the guy money. He's not, you know, there's more dealers on there than anything for these guys are just churning cards over. But, and for a collector to get in there is pretty rare, you know?
I got to say, I'm starting to think you got a pretty good collection.
It's okay, but it's not as good as some of these guys. Believe me, it's got a long way to go. I'm still adding, I'm still a young man, I think, in a lot of ways, but we'll see. And I don't know. Time. Yeah, you think you've got time, but you never know.
Hopefully.
Who's to know?
So that was that was two as a group, and now let's see three, number three.
All right. So my favorite card, I'll tell this story is, I mean, so I told this a little bit on the first time I was on, but I'll go into it a little bit more detail this time. So when I was about 13, 14 years old, I just had something in me that wanted to get old cards. Even then, I had collected 72s or 69, 70, 71, 72, 73s, 74s. And at that time, the hobby was, you know, was pretty jumping pretty good at that point. There was a couple of publications out. I think one was called The Trader Speaks. The other one was called Sports Hobbyist back then. And you'd get, it came like, I don't know how often, maybe you get them like once every 90 days or something like that. They were just looked like they were printed out. And then they had names of dealers in there with a bunch of cards listed. And every month I would, or every time I opened that book, I remember seeing, you know, 52 Mickey Mantle, $75. And the same ad would say Honus Wagner, T206, $1,500. So I'm thinking, oh man, I would love to have that on the Swagger, but I'm never gonna get that. You know, I have my allowance was $5 a week, you know, whatever the hell am I? So, you know, you work and you do whatever you can. I remember just saving, instead of going out and buying the new pack, saving the money. And it took me a while mowing lawns and then handing the money over to my mom for her to write me a check to this guy. And I know the guy is like one of the first dealers with Kit Young. The guy's name is, I believe it was Larry Frisch, who was dealer back then. And it may or may not be him that had the ad. And I don't want to besmirch him or anything, you know, his legacy, because he was like one of the first big dealers around. And I'm sure he didn't meet, you know, because they would have you send them want lists. What cards do you want? You mail it to them. What cards you want? And then they would give you a price back. They would mail you pricing. Here's what I have. And all the cards were considered in pretty nice. You know, you didn't get a choice of centering or take a look at them. Or right. They just came. They would come in the mail 6 weeks later. He would get them all together or whatever. And so, but anyway, you know, I did that. I remember my mom telling me I was crazy. My dad said I was a nutcase, you know, for doing it. And I did it. And I sent the $75 out. And kept waiting, and like 6 weeks later, I ended up getting a Sandy Koufax rookie card, not this one, because I had sold that during another prior purge of the collection in the, probably in the, I want to say 79 or 80, you know, after the fact. And I got a Roy Campanella and a $25 credit memo. I was a 56 Campanella. So the Koufax was nice, but I there was something about that too that I couldn't tell. It looked like there might have been like a Marks a lot or something on it. Like it always kind of bugged me. It wasn't as nice as this one I traded for later, you know. But I ended up selling that within this, you know, a whole bunch of things. But it just that and I guess just growing up at that point too, you know, I got into cars, girls, high school sports, like a lot of these guys do. I sold off most all of the good cards. And I probably got a couple $100. It was a guy on my baseball team. He was starting a, you know, a little business, and he was way ahead of the curve. He was buying and selling and doing. I had him over in my room. He picked out all the cards and how much. I told him, and he said, "Okay, count it out." But it kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth even then. And one of the reasons why now I'm so against being scammed and all these scams. You know, it just kind of works on me because I felt scammed. You know, I didn't get what I wanted. So basically, fast forward now to about 2000, I think again, 2017, I want to say, I'm thinking about getting another, replacing that mantle. And I start looking on eBay, and how am I going to get one? And I can't pay eBay prices. You know, I don't want a trimmed one. I got to find something. I ended up finding a collector who was local. He was about 20 minutes from me. I reached out to him. He called me back. He brought the card. We met for lunch at TGIF Fridays. He was a really great guy. He had another job, and I don't know if he was selling it for a friend. He really wouldn't tell me. And I just figured, you know, if that card comes to me, it's not, I don't care what it, I saw the pictures of it already. I did a little research with VCP. I go, I'm going to buy it no matter what happens. He's not leaving with that card, you know? So we had a nice lunch. I picked up the tab And we made a handshake deal right then and there for the card. Now it was about $200. I'm sorry, 200 times more than the $75 that I originally paid for the first one. So somehow that card went up 200 times in 43 years. So
yeah.
I'd say that it's been quite well. So with that said, and then we went to the bank. I went there and took out a bunch of wads full of cash, had them in my pocket. We walked across to Chase Bank, which was his bank. He was sweating bullets like crazy. I'm going, what are you so nervous about? I hope that's your card, you know? Or I hope it's not a counterfeit or something. But anyway, so this was the card. And
all right, hold on. I'll put you on solo, but I want to do a little double action.
Look here. At that. Yeah, your card's beautiful. We looked at that. I've seen that before.
So look at that. You have an SGC3. Again, the color just jumps off the screen.
I mean, it's got to be a 3 for some reason. I mean, somebody thought that it was good enough for that. And I got a great cash price on it, you know? And so that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a card that has some redeeming value and at a decent price. So I guess maybe I'm not cheap, I wouldn't say, but I'd say that I am mindful of the cost of the card overall. And I'm willing to accept, you know, for a better price or to get, you know, more of a percentage off. I'm willing to accept, especially on a card like this, when like I told you, the guy wasn't getting out of there with, I told him, you don't think that I complained about it. He said, oh, this thing is cut up like with scissors. I mean, well, you must be kidding me. But in the end, it's still, it was a beautiful card.
The 52 Topps Mantle, when you hear people say it's overrated or it's, you hear a lot about that. Of course, is on the other end of it. People say it's the most iconic card. It's the card in the hobby. What do you feel about that? Do you feel like it is overrated? Well, or
I mean, I guess maybe in some respects, but I mean, then there's always going to be people like me. I mean, who I've wanted it for 43 years. So a lot happened in 43 years.
Right.
I must tell you. I mean, I wasn't able to afford a card like that my entire life. Even from the $75. Probably all the way through, you know, so until that time, until it was my time. And that's the way too, I look at things. That I'm never trying to time any market. When you have the money and you have, and the right deal comes up, that's when you do it. You know, cause you know, I mean, it's like like I mentioned, when you buy a house, when you have a 20% down payment and you're going to live in a house you want to die in in a neighborhood, you want to die in, then that's the time to buy it. It doesn't matter if it goes up or down. It really does. Because, I mean, the house that I'm in now, I paid all the money back in 2005, probably. It went down $150,000. I didn't care because I just kept paying off. I'm going to pay it off because I was going to live here forever. Now it's, worth five times as much.
Yep.
And it's paid off on top of it. So that, what do I care? If it goes down to zero right now, I really don't care. Is I'm not moving and I'm not leaving, and the taxes will go down with it.
And I will say, as somebody who owns, like I just showed the 52 Mantle too, it doesn't get old. Like, every time I look at it, I still look at it and go, I can't believe I own this card. Like,
and you're a young man, and let's, God bless that. Hopefully everything in your life, goes great with your health and with kids and college and whatever else you got going. Cause literally I couldn't think about this. Spending this kind of money without, having my daughter out of the house and having her through school. And, there were other things that I had to do, and then have my financial future tied up before I would ever spend that kind of a money on a baseball card. That's why I admire you guys for doing
it. What I say about this card is it motivates me. It motivates me to not have to sell it because I am lucky that I'm self-employed. So I have more, I guess, control over what I make as far as income. Absolutely. Than most people, I guess, because I have a performance-based job where, I can kind of control how much money I make based on how much effort and time and energy I put
into it. Well, that's the other thing. I mean, if I could ever I've given so many people advice and things like that and mentored younger kids that are in, ask me, how do you do this or what do you, and really it's nothing special, but working for yourself is without a doubt the only way. When I was driving even through this my neighborhood here, and I would go and I would look at these houses, I'm going, how the hell do these people afford this? But you know, you have questions like, how am I ever going to do this? I don't know if I can do it or not. I save the money. But then after you go to talk to him, this guy, he owns an auto shop. This guy, you know, owns a brewery. These guys are all business owners too. And the best deal is, I mean, you don't have to be just owning a business. You could be a plumber. Learn QuickBooks, learn plumbing. There's not enough plumbers. Those guys are rich. Yep. You know, they work hard. I'm an electrician, an air conditioning guy. Whatever it is that you're doing, do it for yourself. That's yep. really where you, I mean, my friend said you could always go get another job. That's yep. the other thing. I always listen to people that know more than me. And I had friends that went my route before, and they, you know, we always encourage each other. That's what friends do, you know.
And the thing too about this card, the 52 Mantle, is, yeah, you're parking a lot of money in that card. But I guess I would say it's the one card that I don't really worry about. You know, if I have to sell it, I'm pretty confident that I'll be able to get my money back.
And you'll be able to get it fast. Somebody's going to want it. And yes. You'll always be, you know, you always find a buyer for it. And
if I was over here buying Zion Williamson cards for the same amount of money, then I would call myself irresponsible.
That really is. I mean, and spending this kind of money, if you don't have it and you're putting it on a credit card or something, it can be considered irresponsible. I would consider it irresponsible. I wouldn't do it. Maybe I might have, I mean, I might have tried or something to, you know, when you're younger, but as you get older, you just realize there's just no way to get to that upper echelon or the place where you want to be other than just hard work and time, you know. And like, you know, as working for yourself, it's just basically one foot in front of the other every yep. day. You're building on something and repeat business, and you just call people back. Too many yep. people these days, they don't even call people back. No. And you know what I mean? So by just doing that and being somewhat persistent, you know, you can get quite a long way in this world. You're up against a lot of dummies.
Well, before we move on to the three cards that are on your
one. Oh my! I almost forgot.
No, I just got to recap. You showed just phenomenal examples of Ernie Banks rookie, Willie Mays rookie, Mantle rookie, 52 tops, Koufax rookie, 52 tops Mantle, Koufax rookie. All phenomenal examples. I might have missed one, but.
And I'm anti-rookie. I don't even give a shit about rookies, especially the doublehead or the double or triple players. You know, I don't necessarily collect those. I have a couple of them. The combo cards, yeah. I always prefer the second years just because other than the Nolan Ryan, the bench, I think I have because I collected those as a kid, but I don't really think I have many others. And I don't care necessarily about the rookies. Like if the Clemente was a dual player card, I wouldn't have that either. But for whatever it's worth. All right, so let's get into it. Now we're really into just three, right? Now that I showed five, we talk about three.
Man who just showed some absolute fire. What is he on his want list? What is he?
Well, now I mean, now you're going to see. Now you're going to see how my you know, needs have kind of changed a little bit. The first one I have that written down here, and I have to read it because I just kind of started out a little bit with this. It's a 1912. T227 Series of Champions Ty Cobb.
Okay, let's see if I can find an image.
Call it Honest Long Cut. And please, I want to see the prices because I don't want to get scared here. So maybe you can tell me.
Is that it right there?
That is it. And that's a gorgeous card, isn't it? If I could find that like that in the one.
Woo, look at the colors.
That's what I mean. I'm so prone to those colors. I don't even care if it's centered or not. I just don't want it run over by a truck.
So just to give you a price range on this one, sold for $7,800 on December 3rd.
Ouch, let go of my arm.
REA, REA.
Damn. I'm sure I was bidding on it too, but I never win anything on that channel. On that show.
They're tough. Those auction houses are tough to win cards on.
Well, and it's just so hard to bid on them because, you know, like I've mentioned, it's a 30% beat for me. And I probably could get a resale number or whatever, but that's just lying. I'm not a liar. and I don't want to have to mix it in with my business. And, you know, so I just pay the, have to pay the sales tax like a man. And
on
then
another,
20%.
Another live stream or episode or something, I want to have you back on because I do want to, I want to talk about auction houses because I have a lot of thoughts, but we'll save that for another time. But I do have
awesome
kind of spicy opinions on the auction houses.
Oh, I can't wait to hear. All right. So that's that one. So the, I mean, if I found a car that looked like that at a show, like I decided I am going to go to the Strongsville show in Ohio coming up. And if I find a card like that, I will drop it. I will drop it.
I've never seen that card, but this is the first time I've ever laid eyes on this card.
Really? Man,
that is a beauty.
I mean, I also need the green Cobb too. So don't think I won't. I mean, if I can find that one instead, I'll buy that one. But this one's on my hit list. Okay. So the next one is also, and it's kind of an offbeat, and it's a 1922 E121 American Caramel Baby Roof Montage.
Let's see what we got here. Series.
I've seen a couple of these for sale, and I know Orlando has one, but he's never going to sell it to me.
Is this it?
That's it. Wow. No, that's not it. But I like that one too, and I don't know exactly what that one. The one I'm looking at is called the Montage, but I like that one.
Oh, here too. It is. I got it right here.
Yeah, that's the one, the Montage. Yeah, just because I think that's a classic card. But if I found the other one and it was similar priced or whatever, and it was nicer and somebody had it and I had the money, I'm all over it. And I know that all these collectors all have them. I know Orlando's got one. He wouldn't sell it for his right gonad. I'd throw the kitchen sink at him, but I'll probably have one before he ever gets around to selling his.
See, I'm not very well versed on pre-war stuff.
I'm not either, and that's why I'm kind of getting into it. I mean, like I mentioned from the beginning, is when I started buying all these cards, I kind of went from the 50s, 60s, 70s, and then because I wanted to learn what I was doing a little bit and make some contacts, and then by the time I really got to like roofs, I had bought one roof, I think, and one Garrig before the pandemic. And then shit just got out of hand. And yep. I didn't buy anything during the pandemic worth any value. It was all raw, just kind of for fun to stay in the game. But I didn't pay any of those ridiculous prices. I just wasn't going to get caught up in it.
So you're looking at around $3,500 for a well-loved copy here. Oh, shit.
And what? You're never going to get it. Nobody's going to sell that for $3,500.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, that's way too low.
There's no way. These things are priced for 7 to 10 grand. And then some of them, I think, I don't even know what grades Orlando's is in, but I like a 3 or 2, 2 or 3. I mean, they're like 17,000, 15 to 20,000.
So this one sold at Leland's for $3,400 back
when?
In November of 2023, last year.
Oh man. I mean, I don't even belong to Leland's.
Yeah, I think that's part of the issue sometimes with like some of these cards. They get sold at nothing against Leland's, but I don't think it has as much eyeballs as some of these other places do, you know? So,
like I saw, you know, a couple of the dealers that I've noticed, I mean, they've got them listed for 10,000 and more.
That makes
sense. And I'm hoping to get them for 7 or 8,000, you know, a nice copy.
I love that card. Yeah. I just love the dual image of Ruth on that one.
And and they're growing on me as I start to learn more about them, you know, and whatnot. And that's why it's on my list. And then the last card on my list, and like I said about that roof too, I still need the red and the yellow. So if something good comes up on that, I'll be all over that. And my wheelhouse on that is probably about a 1.5 to a 2. I think you can find a really nice copy of a 1.5 and stay, you know, under. Maybe I'm hoping like 8 to 10 grand or something for a, and it doesn't have to be centered, but it has to have some border, you know?
Yep.
All right. So and my last one is a 1915 Cracker Jack Honus Wagner.
Wow.
And I don't own a Cracker Jack, and I see all these crackety crack jacks, and I want one. And there was one, a really nice one on Net 54, and the guy sold it for $16,500. It was a 2.5, and I didn't even really see it, and it sold quick. And I mean, maybe if it was the right time, I may have done it.
But so this one is an SGC2, just sold at Heritage January 26th of 2024 for $11,700.
That'd be nice if I could. I mean, but I just am not that lucky. Yeah. Get it to pay that. You know what I mean? I would love to get a card like that. If I could buy that tomorrow, I'd say, where do I sign? But and that then any
the set of all time right there.
It really is. And I can't believe I waited so long to get one. And I'd love to get the Cobb too. But I mean it's just out of my range right now, I think. I don't know what I would do.
Does he have one in 1914 too?
I really don't know. I don't know much about the entire series. All I know is I saw that card the other day and I go, man, that's that. Because the other thing about all those Wagners, that everything with an E that starts with an E, I guess it's a candy issue. E90, E91, 92, 95. I love them all.
Right.
And I actually, if I could find a nice one of those for 10,000 or so or a little bit less, I would jump on one. And that's why, you know, like this authentic, the A's, the authentic alter, they've started to appeal to me a little bit more. I actually had a deal last week that fell through. And I don't remember the exact one, if it was E91 or something. The guy was selling it. He was asking 4,000 or whatever. And I made it. We came to a deal after a day or so. And I told him how I always do it. I send a check with tracking. And so that way he can track the check. It's like cash. And I don't like to use PayPal to spend that kind of money. I don't want them in my transaction for whatever reason. And I don't want to pay them 3% on top of it to give that guy his money. Because they always want net to me. Well, you want net to me? Here's a check. Well, how do I know the check's good? Well, I've got references. I've been doing this for 20 years. Everybody knows my green checks. If you don't, as far as I know, it's against the law to write a bad check. I'm not going to jail over $3,000 or $4,000 check. So I go, it's good as gold, and you know, you hold it for 3 or 4 days if you want to make sure. That's what I tell him. And so we made the deal, and then he said, PayPal me, here's my PayPal. I said, I don't do PayPal. He says, well, I'm gonna have to move on. I go, all right. But it was an authentic altered Wagner. It was okay. It was got creases here, and I don't know why it was authentic altered. It had decent eye appeal. He liked it because he said, oh, it's same year as the T206. He's trying to oversell it. He says it's with him batting, had a nice rip. And if I could get it for $3,000 or whatever, I would have taken it. And it would have been my first Wagner. I told that other story about my other Wagner that was all jacked up when we got that before. That's a whole nother can of worms. But
I just wanted for the Cracker Jacks, I just wanted to have one from either 14 or 15. I got one from 1914, like I guess you'd call more of a common players, Stuffy McGinnis. He was an old Red Sox player. I just wanted to have one. I just wanted to have one from the set, you know, and it was like a few $100. So I figured, hey, I got a card from that set. You know, it's
I want to do, only I want a Wagner.
Yeah. not too bad.
I don't know.
But you'll have to let me know when you get any of those. Keep me posted. I like to keep.
Okay, track. I'll text you guys and let you know if I get. But I might go to this Ontario show next week. I don't know. I don't think they normally have a lot of vintage. And the one dealer that's there that has all the vintage, I can see his stuff on Facebook. I'm not a big fan of Ontario, to be honest with you. I think I'm just going to save my budget, hold out until Strongsville and see if I, because I heard that that's one of the best shows for vintage, more as much so or much so, or more than the National.
So you're going, you know, and there's a bunch of YouTubers going to that one too.
That's what I hear. Yeah. I haven't really told anybody that I'm going yet, but I did get my room and my flight. It's a hell of a flight. I mean, I don't know if you're on the West Coast too, so. It's a two plane flight and 7 hours or 8 hours. I'd rather go to Germany. Faster.
They gotta go to Cleveland. You get to meet, you know, that you've been watching on YouTube and so forth. That'll be cool to meet all those guys.
It'll be fun. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have a few pops, and no pun intended, pops. A few pops.
Well, I just want to thank you first of all for just, you know, when you leave comments on not only my videos all these years, but so many everyone else. It really means a lot. It's for people that make content, when you even if it's a comment where you're making fun of them or you're making jokes.
I'm always trying to joke around and making fun of you guys. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the fun, you know, busting balls.
I appreciate it. It's hard.
Thanks for sticking with me because I know I can, you know, I can be abrasive. That's just my nature, especially behind the keyboard.
Now that I've talked or I saw you on those other videos and I've talked to you, now you can free reign. Go for
it. Yeah, right. Go ahead. Call me whatever. Yeah, but you're like one of the nicest guys in the whole group, really. I mean, you don't ruffle any feathers. So you're just so soft spoken and so respectful.
Like I said, I'm self-employed. I don't want to cause any problems with.
Well,
like,
now you know why Mike Petty is. I've got some high profile clients too. They don't need to know.
But I'm having fun with it. Like just doing these, you know, it's all worth it to be able to have a conversation like this. So
awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I mean, I just appreciate you guys, everything you do. And I love this show. And so I'm just honored to be on it, to be honest with you.
Oh, it was an honor to have you. And I look forward to seeing you, not only hopefully coming back on my channel here, but I hope you'll go out on some of these other channels too. Guys, if you're watching this, invite Mike on your channel.
If you're not tired of the same old stories, because that's all you're going to get from me. I'm an old storyteller.
That's it for 3 and 3, episode 34 with Mike Petty. And I guess I'll show this on the way out here. I'm gonna title this episode "Running Down a Dream."
Oh, I love it. Oh, my beauty. My favorite song. You know, I've lived that song
for
35 years, man. And I ran down the dream. All right, man. All the best. Peace. Peace. Love.
Thanks, guys.
All the best.